So you thought that was a funny scripture reading, huh? I guess I better explain it then. Tracing family genealogies, which is what we heard, of course, the genealogy of Jesus, tracing family genealogies has actually become a very popular hobby. Genealogies, I suppose they give you a sense of who you are. They lay bare your family history and roots. So I have traced my family genealogy on the Suk side back 15 generations to the early 1600s. Sounds a little bit like what you just heard from Matthew 1. Jan lived 79 years and he died. Willem lived 55 years and he died. Tama lived 65 years and he died. I won't go through the other 12 generations. I mean, this is pretty dry stuff. But not as dry as you think. Matthew has a genealogy, and you just heard it, a genealogy for Jesus that is actually brimming with scandal. It goes like this. Listen. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Do you remember Tamar? You should read her story. I think it's Genesis 38. According to that story, Tamar's first two husbands, who were sons of the Judah in Jesus' genealogy, her first two husbands died, leaving her childless. Judah, her father-in-law, refused to give Tamar his third son to marry Tamar as the law required. So then, to get the child that was Tamar's due, Tamar decided if she wasn't going to get the third son, she would take the law into her own hands. And so she got rid of her widow's weeds, and she put on some prostitute's working clothes instead. And she sat by the road until her father-in-law, Judah, came by, and she went to bed with Judah, became pregnant, and had twins. One of those twins, Perez, was a direct ancestor of Jesus. And so Jesus' genealogy continues. You heard it. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Well, here's another woman, whose mother was Rahab. Rahab, of course, was not the type of woman to play at prostitution just once in her life. No. Prostitution was actually Rahab's full-time profession. Rahab ran an unpretentious little establishment in the red light district of Jericho. And she was known for, among other things, her warm and giving hospitality. This is why the spies who were checking out whether they could conquer Israel, the spies from Joshua, made a beeline for her when they got into trouble in Jericho. And that's why when the king of Jericho asked Rahab to turn those Israelites over, she saved their necks by lying and telling the king that they had just left. Now, for saving the lives of those two Israelite spies, Rachel was spared when the walls of Jericho fell down. And as a bonus, she had the honor of being one of Jesus' ancestresses. And so the genealogy continues. Rahab who we heard, was the mother of Boaz, and Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was another one of those women, Ruth. Now, Ruth was not even an Israelite, well, neither was Rahab, but Ruth was born in Moab, the member of a Middle Eastern tribe that the Israelites had particular trouble with for most of their history, and whom the Israelites, for that reason, thought was a rather unclean and odious people. Nevertheless, when Ruth's husband, a Jew, died, Ruth followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. However, besides being very loyal to her mother-in-law, Ruth was a bit of a vixen, too. She didn't have a husband anymore, and so one night she got all perfumed up and fancily dressed, and she came on to this really rich single man named Boaz. Ruth waited till Boaz was a little bit tipsy and then crawled into his bed, and when Boaz asked her, "What are you doing?" she asked if she could sleep with him. He did, and the next thing you know, the genealogy continues. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David, and King David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Now, Uriah's wife, I mean, she was so troublesome a woman that they didn't even dare mention her name here. But you probably know who I'm speaking of. Uriah's wife was Bathsheba. Bathsheba was an adulterous woman. She may have been the beauty of this bunch of women, too, in Jesus' genealogy. When David saw her from his rooftop, a bathing girl standing in a shallow pool, dipping water over her bare shoulders with a pitcher, where the king could see her, King David did. And when he saw her, he said to himself, "I have to have that woman at any cost." And the cost would be exorbitant. So for the sake of a fling with a beautiful woman, David made sure her husband Uriah died, making David and most probably Bathsheba too murderers. And their out-of-wedlock child died. In spite of this, Bathsheba and David were also both ancestors to Jesus through their second child, Solomon. It's interesting, Matthew never mentions all the virtuous women in Jesus' history. No mention of Sarah, no mention of Rachel, no mention of Rebecca. Tamar, Ruth, Rahab, and Bathsheba is who we get in Jesus' genealogy. But why? Why a genealogy filled with a murderer, foreigners, prostitutes? Well, I think a big part of why these women, out of all the possibilities, why these women were mentioned, a big reason has to do with the heart of God that beat in Jesus. You see, God is about grace. Grace for any and all humans, even sinful, dangerous women like Tamar and Bathsheba. God works miracles of grace even in the lives of people like David and Ruth and Rahab and you and I. All of us have felt ourselves to be trapped or actually are trapped by the webs of our own sins and the circumstances we made ourselves. Some of us live with dark secrets that are private and we share with no one. Others of us have sinned or done wrong lavishly, and everyone knows it and whispers it as soon as you leave the room. The four women in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, honestly, really, they have nothing on us. But as God loved them and used them and put them on thrones and honored them, so God loves us and wants to use us and embrace us. Nothing in our past lives, nothing we've hidden in the dark corners of our hearts, in rooms where we never even dare enter ourselves anymore. Nothing is so terrible or so scandalous that it can cut us off from God. And, says Matthew, that is the meaning of Christmas. Amen.